All right, let's stand together, Haggai chapter 1, and I'm going to read a little bit out of Ezra in a minute. Not a lot, but if you know where that is, want to turn there, you can do that also. I heard a preacher preach one time a message on, you know how in Genesis it says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. And the Hebrew people, their day is not midnight to midnight like ours is. Their day is 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. And so tonight at 6 p.m. In Israel, it became Monday. And so a little different than what we do, but they actually do it the way it was there in the Bible. And think about this. This is what the preacher preached on. He said, how much better would our days be if we treated our days like the evening and the morning? And here's what he said. He said, if when you go to bed at night, the dishes are done, your clothes are laid out for the next day, you know exactly what you're doing when you wake up the next day. He said, how much more would we accomplish than waking up whenever, then figuring out what we're going to eat, then figuring out what we're going to wear, and then somewhere along the way go, you know, I better get going today. It was a great message. It was a great challenge. Now, I'm going to talk about time at some point tonight, and I want to say this to everyone that's retired. You are living the dream, okay? It will not apply to you. Okay, my dream is to get up, drink coffee, listen to the birds as much as I could hear them at that point. And then if I decide to go back and lay down on my bed, I'm going to go back and lay down on my bed. And then I'm going to have some more coffee and, you know, whatever. So it doesn't apply to you. But the rest of us quit being stinking lazy, okay? And so I'm going to cover several areas tonight. I don't want to wait till January 7th. When we've already knocked out a week and then say, now let's think about what we're going to do in the new year. We'll already be in the new year. It's like waking up tomorrow and saying, now what are we going to do? So I want to preach a kind of a New Year's message to you tonight to get you to thinking a little bit. And I promise you, there'll be an area. There'll be an area. We're even going to talk about physically tonight. So, there will be an area. There will be an area for us to consider. So, all right, Haggai chapter number 1 and verse number 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, excuse me, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? And you know what? When it says comes a little, you know, you remember over in the book of, I believe it would be Second Corinthians, where God says that he is able to multiply our seed sown. So when God gets in on our finances, when God gets in on it, because we get in on his plan, God's able to stretch a dollar more than we could. And he's saying, you don't have enough because I did blow upon it. He's saying, you're not right with me in these areas. And so I'm not blessing that. It'd be amazed if we had turned everything over to God, what God would do. He said, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. The earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn. Notice this. And upon the new wine. Anybody ever wants to have an argument with you about wine? He's calling grapes wine right there. Rain is not falling on wine bottles. It's falling on grapes that's already being called wine. and upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. And then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now I want to preach tonight on this thought before we walk through the door of 2024. Before we walk through the door of 2024. Now I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Just think about this. Answer it in your own mind. Do you already know what you're doing tomorrow? Do you already know where you need to be, when you need to be there, or what time you're going to get up, or you know, all of, is your day already planned for tomorrow? Well, what about next year? Have you given it any consideration? What you, I realize some are saying, I just hope to be alive next year. But, I mean, you can have a good year if you plan it out ahead of time and think it through. So before we walk through the door of 2024, I want to give us four or five areas to consider tonight to just stop and evaluate in our life. You know, where are we and where are we headed? And not watch things happen, but make things happen in our life. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our message tonight? Would you challenge us, all of us in here? We want to be better next year. We want to be improved in areas. We certainly want to be a better Christian, and we want to advance. We don't want to set ourselves back next year. And so, Lord, for some, this year has been a struggle. For others, this year has been a victory. And Lord, I pray for next year that all of us would enjoy the blessings of God. So help us tonight to stop for just a few moments, and over these next couple of weeks, think about some things in our life that maybe we can change or work on or do better or whatever, and help us tonight, I pray. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. Keep your Bible open there in that passage. But way back there in the Old Testament, before the prophetical books, you get to the historical books, and Ezra is one of the historical books of the Bible. When you're reading through the book of Ezra, you're reading about the children of Israel who are coming back from Babylonian captivity. And we see them in Ezra as they're beginning to rebuild the temple there in Jerusalem. Now, listen to what the Bible says in Ezra 3. And little kids tonight, my eyes are on you, and I hold the key to the next pizza party. So if you talk all the way through church or go to the bathroom every 2 seconds, I shall remember next year. Merry Christmas, okay? All right, now, we would rather you go back there than in your pew, okay? That goes for young and old. So, but if you can hold it, listen to the preaching, or at least don't interrupt. Ezra 3 says this in verse 8. Now, in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. All right, so they began to do the work there in Jerusalem. Then stood Joshua with his son, and his brethren, Kadmiel, and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Now stay with me as we build the foundation, all right? So here, in Ezra, they've come back after the destruction of Jerusalem, and they have come back now to rebuild the temple and lay the foundation of that. All right, Brother Richard, you know ACs. Can you turn those ACs on those two walls up there, just to wherever they hit? A lot of people are fanning themselves tonight. The cold are just going to live and die cold, but everybody else in here is dying and glad they're not going to the lake of fire. So even the platform up here, if you don't mind, it's just as distracting to watch all the fans as it is for him to just get up there. So the temple building process, here's what I want you to get. Please stay with me through all of the distraction. The temple building process there in Ezra lasted 20 years, but the actual building of the temple itself only took 5 years. For 15 years, the foundation sat vacant because the people quit working. For 15 years, they watched as the foundation maybe began to crack and maybe began to grow grass on it. Or you've seen construction sites where all the junk's around the foundation, all the weeds are growing up. That sat there for 15 years. Now, enemies rose up from without and from within and discouraged the people in the work. And so that's why the work stopped. The Bible says in Ezra 4:24, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. All right, so for 15 years, no one worked on completing the temple. It just sat there until God sent two preachers to stir up his people. Now, I don't know about you. Now, I'm not just talking about me. I love preaching and I love preachers. Preachers are my heroes. You have your favorites. I have my favorites. I'm right. You're wrong. But I've had these conversations with people. They're like, I just don't know. Like, you're dumb. So, but I have certain kind of, and you know, we all have different types that we like. Some of you like the teaching preachers, and some of you like the wind sucking, and I'm repeating the same thing five times in 10 messages in a row, but it sounds energetic, so I excite you, but there's no new topic. Hey, it's all the same. Y'all see what I'm saying? That comes from the Bible college students who have two sermons. So the foundation just sat there. And God sent two preachers to stir up his people. He sent a young preacher who was probably in his 20s or 30s. So this guy would be full of energy still, like the Baptist that we have in our church here. His name was Zechariah, and you see that book in the Bible. Zechariah's message was, be ye not as your fathers, okay? So their forefathers are what put them into Babylonian captivity, and here they are now having an opportunity to go back and rebuild and do right and live righteously, and yet they're backsliding. So his message is, be ye not as your fathers. That phrase is used in his book. He said, get up and do right and get busy for the Lord. God also sent an old preacher. Now, this preacher may have been over 100 years old at the time that God sent him to preach to the people. This preacher's name was Haggai. Haggai preached the message, consider your ways and get busy building the house of the Lord. Now, again, I'm going to read in Ezra, and I'm going over to Haggai really quickly here. But in Ezra 4:24, again, the Bible says, then cease the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. Okay. So if you ever write this in your Bible at the end of chapter 4 into chapter 5, verse 1 in Ezra, you could write right there. 15 years, right here is a 15-year space. In chapter 5 and verse number 1 of Ezra, it says, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. So they began to preach to the people. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God, helping them. It goes on to say in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 15, and this house was finished. Okay, so God used preachers to stir them up and say, what in the world are you doing? Consider your ways. Be ye not as your fathers. Get busy building the house of God. And so what should have been completed in 5 years took 20, because for 15 years they just quit because the devil discouraged them. So the beginning of the message that Haggai preached to those people there in the days of Ezra, in the book of Ezra, is what our text is here tonight. So again, in verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts there in Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. This people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Okay, so he begins to question them, and just like I would, just like any preacher would, try to stir us up about something in our life that's not right. And he says, God is not blessing you because you're not being faithful to the work of God. And then the same verse is repeated that we read in Ezra, that God stirred up the people, stirred up the spirit of some of the people there, and they began to do the work. So he challenged them. to think about where they were in life. He said, consider your ways. Think about where you should be, but where you are. And he wanted them to think about where they were in life and why. And they got busy doing something about it. Now, in this passage, Haggai chapter 1, I see some things that you and I should consider before we walk through the door of 2024. Just a very practical message tonight, but I want you to evaluate. I think it's five things that I wrote down, and I want you to consider it in your life. The name Haggai means feast. It means feast, like a party or a fellowship, if you're from a little Baptist, a fellowship. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:15, that all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Let me ask you a question. Was 2023 a feast for you, or was it a famine? What was it, a famine of accomplishment as you look back? Was it a famine of joy? You had a tough year. What was it, a famine in your spiritual life? Did you struggle in your spiritual life? Let me ask you another question. What do you hope for in 2024? You say, I hope my ship comes in. If you've lived long enough, you realize the ship never comes in. I preached a message one time. Don't miss the canoes for the ship, or something like that. And I used the illustration of when the Nielsens were on deputation. And they called me one night. They were out in another state. And Brother Nielsen called me. He said, Pastor, he said, we're down to our last dollar. And he said that the church tonight that we were at, he said, they didn't give us $1 for a love offering, not $1. And we didn't have Cash App and all that back then, but I always tried to take care of them the best I could. But he said, Pastor, he called me back like an hour later. He said, Pastor, you don't believe this. He said, we just had someone stop by our hotel, and they were visiting in that church tonight. And they knocked on our door and said, you know, God told me to bring you $100, and gave it to them. And I preached a message after that on, we're so busy looking for the big stuff, we miss out on the little blessings of God that just sustain us along the way. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Well, you know, man, it's getting cold in here. I'm just speaking for the ladies. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. How's 2024 going to be? Well, you know, it's just going to I hope it's going to be a good one. Okay, what does that mean? Well, on these days, we're going to get our finances together. Okay, sloth, what are we talking about here? The soul of the sluggard desired hath nothing. But, listen, the soul of the diligent, some of you are going to like this, shall be made fat. You can tell who's got it together in this church. Some of the people you never would have thought have it together. Don't judge people. No. The word diligent means this, steady in application. Steady in application to business, constant in effort, attentive, not idle, not negligent, okay? You can watch things happen, or you can make things happen. You can be diligent, or you could be negligent. You could be careful and focused, or you could be careless and just floating in the wind, and it's just another day, and another week has passed, and another month has passed, and another year has passed, and where are we in life? Oh, I don't know. It's all good. So before we knock out these last 2 weeks of the year, let me give you a list of things to consider, okay? Number one is this. Consider your future. Now, by that, I mean your time and your schedule. Consider your future. Notice what was said there in Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 2. When he's getting on to them about their attitude, he said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. So we're dealing with time in this verse. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you a time waster? I don't have my phone with me, but I could point out number one time waster is the phone. or the tablet or the video games or the whatever. Let me ask you young men something. If all you ever do is play video games, how are you going to know how to change a tire one day? How are you going to know how to sling a hammer at a nail? You going to have your wife go do it for you? How are you going to know those things?
I got like 10 diamonds and I'm like on level number.
Okay, you better get on level number 100 with a plunger. You better learn. Dude, I tell you, I'm a girl now. I got like 6 likes with that post I made with that selfie the other day. You might want to learn how to make a meal or two for your family, because that microwave is going to break one day. All right? The toaster ain't always going to be there. Consider your future. Are you a time waster? Do you plan your work and work your plan? Now, we're cutting up some tonight, and we're hot, and then we're freezing. We feel like a bunch of 50-something-year-old women in here tonight. But be serious about your time. The only way we're going to accomplish anything in the other areas that I'm going to give you tonight is we have to get control of our time and live by a schedule and live by a list. I said it in Sunday school this morning. Some people are better than me. Some people have it at 8 o'clock, I'm going to do this. And at 8:03, I'm going to brush my teeth. And at 8:07, I'm reading my Bible. And at 9:02, I'm starting my truck. And that's great. That's wonderful. And then sometimes you have people that they'll put it online and brag about their schedule, whatever. Anyways, you got to have, if I don't have it on paper, I'm going to forget it. And guess what you also have if you don't have it on paper? Anxiety. Anxiety. I got so much going on this week. I'm not trying to come across prideful tonight, because I battle in all these areas, especially the weight part. But you don't have to live with anxiety. You just get it on paper. Well, our bills are just get it on paper. Well, I got so much to do in January. And then, have you seen February? I get tired. I get tired like the rest of them. But I love a new schedule. I love a new week. I love a new month. I love Mondays. It's not the stress of studying and being there. There's just lots of ground I could cover. But I'm really trying to help all of us tonight. Don't you want to have a good year next year? And so you got to get control of your time. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I had, when I was in Bible college, Brother Anderson, I don't know if you had him or not, Brother Rigsby, was he teaching? Was he running the show back then? Oh, man, he was big time on time management. He said, young man, he was an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, and I think a graduate, and he'd say, chop, chop, young man, chop, chop. It's time. Hey, where you been, guys? If you're not early, you're late. And, man, he was big. We had a practicum class is what it was called. And every day he would give us all these quotes and sayings on time management. And, I mean, he was big. And guess what? He accomplished a lot in his life because of it. One of the things he used to say is this: young men, stop telling me you didn't have time. We all have an equal amount of time. Every day we have 24 hours. Every week we have 7 days. Every year we have 365 days, unless it's a leap year like this next year is. We have one more extra day. So we don't have any excuse. We have an extra day to get it done. And that stuck with me, and I'll catch myself saying, I just didn't have time, and I'll stop myself at times and say, I just didn't take the time this week to get that done. If I asked for a show of hands, 99% of us would be in here saying, I've been talking about forever, and then you fill in the blanks. But I tell you what, that this next month I'm going to get my storage building cleaned out. Well, this next month I'm going to get that carpet shampooed. Well, this next month I'm going to get that. I'm going to go through those clothes that I hadn't worn since I was 13 and get some of that out of that closet. Well, this next month I'm going to this. And, well, this year we're going to that. And this year we're going to. And I'm saying tonight, just stop and consider your time and schedule things and work at it and have it on paper. The enemies of time management are procrastination and disorganization. Let all things be done decently and in order. Disorganization will kill everything in your life. But if you're waking up, you find yourself waking up, and especially if you're homeschooling, you better have it together if you're homeschooling. spend half a day trying to figure out where the breakfast toast is. You got a lot on your plate. And it ain't toast because you can't find it. But disorganization. Where are you going Monday? I don't know. Where's your math pace? You had 3 days this weekend to find that and get it on the table and have it ready to go on Monday morning. Babe, where's my socks? Dude, you're a grown man. And you had 3 days to be ready for Monday morning. I'm always late. Why are you always late? Because we're going to go home and sit on our phone instead of making sure we're lined out. So procrastination. All of us in here. I can't speak for all of us, but I'll just speak for most all of us. We put stuff off. And I struggle in areas too with my schedule. But I have told my kids and my wife, I'll tell them this, I'll say something like this. Do what you don't want to do first. Or if you don't, you'll keep putting it off. And in your day, whatever you plan on doing that day, and you look at that hard thing, if you're not careful, you'll keep putting it off till it's like, I could do that tomorrow. But if you knock it out, you feel better about yourself. It's done. It's the one thing you didn't want to do. If you did not wake up and do that, you would just keep putting that off. So y'all know how January is? Walmart is going to be full of tubs. And it's going to be full of medicine for tubs, right? It's going to be full of diet stuff. Why? Because everyone's going, man, I'm glad holidays are over. Put this away. Miss Nielsen she's an organizer. She's a busy lady. She'll probably put this away Christmas night. It's just the way she is. And but folks, listen, we put stuff away and say, man, we're going to get it together. Don't wait till January 28th to say, let's start getting it together. Do it right now, okay? Consider your future, your time. Plan your work and work your plan. You can talk about, I have a few pet peeves. Probably more than anybody else. I know that can be annoying. One is, please don't crunch around me. The other is, please don't smack your gum around me. But one is, people that talk more about work than they actually work. Man, let's just get busy. Let's feel accomplished, okay? So consider your future, okay? Number two is this. Now that I'm on your good side. Consider yourself physically. I know it doesn't start with an F, but if you want to put an F in front of that P just to make it look better, it at least sounds the same, and I knew we'd have a bunch of homeschooled people in here, and they wouldn't know the difference, so I just throw it out there. Consider your future. Number two, consider yourself physically. Look at what they said. Now, please don't miss this point. And I'm having fun because I'm not trying to stand up. Oh, I got it all together. Because I promise you I don't. And I promise you every one of these areas, man, I struggle in these areas also. And I have to stop from time to time and reevaluate. Okay. But look at what it says in Haggai 1 and verse 4 there. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? So when I read that in light of the sermon, that made me think about how we're doing physically. People get sick, people get depressed during the winter. Why? Because we're not careful, we will sit in sealed houses. No exercise, it gets dark at 5 o'clock, you gotta be careful. We moved into the house we live in now, 24 years ago, we moved into that house. In January of 2000, we started renting that house. Miss Audie could tell you, when we moved in that house, there was an older couple that lived in it. The older couple had to move to a nursing home. We rented it from their kids, and their kids were in their 50s at the time. And then once mom and dad passed away, the kids sold the house to us. When we moved into that old pier and beam house, every single window in that house was taped shut. Clear tape. After a few winters, we realized why they had done that. But that means they never opened a window. And I mean, I'm talking about all the way across, all the way down, all the way across the bottom. Every single window, it still has marks on some of the old windows from where the tape was. The longer you dwell in a sealed up house, the more unhappy and unhealthy you're going to become. There have been times where I've been sick. And you know how it is when you're sick and then you're trying to kick the sickness. And if you're not careful, you'll think, man, I just don't have the energy. But there's something about pushing yourself to get up. When I wake up with a headache all the time. She's there every time I wake up. No, I wake up. I'm talking about Sarah. But I do. I wake up with headaches a lot. And it just, I don't know why it is. I think all the fat runs to my head at night or something. But I wake up with headaches a lot. And I'll tell my son, I say, man, I got a headache. So I'll get up, take some Tylenol or BC powder. She'll rub my shoulders or my head or my neck. She's a good wife, and she does that kind of stuff to be a blessing to her husband. And you should try that too. But she'll do that. But I'll tell her, I'll say, you know what? I'm going to go get a shower. Because if I can get up and get in the shower, get underneath that hot water, and man, I just need to get going. Now, listen to me, of all ages, because we got people that are unhealthy of all ages. I'm telling you, the longer you sit there and think about it, the worse you're going to get. And the longer you lay in bed, the longer you sit in that chair, you've got to get out. You've got to get out and get some fresh air. Okay, that's why all the old folks walk around Walmart all the time, block the aisles. That's what they do. When I worked for Frito-Lay, and I was up there at 5 o'clock in the morning putting chips on the shelf, and all the old folks are like, you know, and they're walking, they're exercising. But that's a good thing. Get outside of your house and exercise. If you can't do the walking, get out on that front porch and get some fresh air. But that sealed up house is just gonna keep you in bad shape, no matter what your age is. 3 John 2 says, behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. There are things that are out of our control. Is that not right? There are things that are out of our control. Many of you are battling with health issues. You can't do much about health. But are we at least trying to control what we can control? Now, I know many of us have a life's verse, and it's found in Nehemiah chapter 8. Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. Okay? We're not all getting professional water, professional milk, professional bread, professional chips. We have a lot of people that are diet gurus in our church, and they're healthy, and they feel well all the time, and they're skinny. But there are some of us that still have a mobile between the house and the office. And mobile still sells cinnamon donuts and, you know, Coke Zeros and all this. Although Mr. Kevin that visits us on Thursday, he's trying to help me go on a diet. Because he walked in Thursday, he sees my snacks on my table. He's like, Jeremy, I like Doritos. I said, yeah, me too. He's like, no, I'm serious. I like Doritos. I said, all right, you can have them, take them. He grabs them. I'm walking out of my office. Like, come on, Kevin. He said, I mean, I like Kit Kats too. I'm like, take it. Guess I won't have anything to eat. So, we ought to stop though and consider where we are physically. Okay? This is going to come as a surprise. But getting married is not a license to give up. Okay? Getting married is not a license to give up on either one of our parts. Very few of us maintain our figure from when we were 18. Remember what the Bible says? Bodily exercise is exercise profiteth little. But it does profit a little, right? I wrote down this little article from Mayo Clinic. Here's what it says. Exercise, and my wife and I have talked about this with me and me needing to get out and get some exercise, but exercise increases your overall health and your sense of well-being. You say, why are you preaching this? He just said, I wish above all things that may prosper and be in health. And if our health is not right, we're not going to be able to serve God like we could. It says exercise increases your overall health and your sense of well-being, which puts more pep in your step every day. But exercise also has some direct stress-busting benefits. It pumps up your endorphins. Now, I know I'm not a registered college graduate nurse or anything, but I'm just reading, so if I say something wrong, whatever. It pumps up your endorphins. Physical activity may help bump up the production of your brain's feel-good neurotransmitters called endorphins, right? Now, my wife was telling me this one time because that stuff doesn't click with me. And she's telling me this. And then one day she's talking to Caitlin, Miss Caitlin Cunningham, a year or two ago. And she's like, I think the preacher, Miss Audie said, the preacher needs to, because of stress, he needs to walk. He needs to exercise. I'm trying to tell him it'll help him out. And Miss Caitlin's like, that's exactly what it is. If he would do that, blah, 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 all that stuff, you know. Some of you do well. Some of you do well with exercising. Some of you do well with dieting. Don't judge the rest of us. But I did want to say tonight, we do have to get out of the sealed up winterized houses. Some of you spent your year and you get down either physically or you get down emotionally and you just don't leave the house and you just don't open the curtains and you don't open the window and you just, woe is me. And I'm telling you, you're only making yourself worse by living that way. Open the blinds. Open the windows. Go sit on the front porch. If you can walk, take a walk. If you got a scooter, make a lap around the block like some of the older folks do. You mamas that are home all the time raising these kids and you're unable to get out and go, man, at least get out. Get out in that backyard with the kids or open those windows or do something. You know, even homeschoolers should have a little physical education, not thumbication. Consider yourself physically. All right, next is this. Well, I wrote this down. How do we diet and exercise? We plan it. We schedule it. Usually mine is tomorrow. We plan it, we schedule it, we make it happen. Consider your future. Consider yourself physically. Number three, consider your finances. Consider your finances. That's with a P if you're homeschooled. Haggai chapter 1, look at verse 6. Think about this in your own life, Haggai 1:6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. Look at this. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, many in our church, we're really blessed with folks that work hard, have good jobs. You put in a lot of hours at your work. In other words, you have sown much. My question to you tonight is, are you better off today than you were 1 year ago? I like to, the past several years, at the end of the year, look at everything I got going on and write down how much debt I had a year ago and what debt I have today. And I want to make sure that's getting better. You know, if you're in your 20s, you're just getting started out. You haven't even collected the debt yet on some things with houses and all. But at my age, I'm looking more towards, you know, saving a little for retirement, that sort of thing. So I want to make sure that I'm getting better now than I was a year ago. Are you better today than you were? Or does it seem like your wages keep going into a bag with holes? Where's all my money going? Good money management requires, number one, it requires work. Work. I mean, I've never known someone to succeed that somebody in the house wasn't working on a regular basis. It requires organization. I've seen people that you go to their house and their bills are piled up on the kitchen table. And it's like, just take the bill off the top and pay that this week. And I understand we live week to week. I live week to week. I mean, I'm not hurting, but I live week to week. But you can tell when someone is not really organized with their finances when they tell you this. I get paid Friday. Can I pay you on Friday? Because that's saying I didn't already have a place for that to go. I'm gonna spend that, and then we'll figure everything out next week. All right, so if you're organized with your finances, then you're telling people, you know, in February, can I pay you a little bit? In March, I'll pay you a little bit. But I've had people say, well, we want to do this, we want to do that. We'll pay for it this Friday, or well, we'll pay for it next Friday when we get paid. You ought to know where your money's going before that month even starts. You got to be organized with your finances. There's got to be control. There's got to be control. I know that's hard to hear at Christmas time, but there's got to be control. You don't have to buy a gift for everybody's cat and dog. If you can't afford it, got to be discipline. Got to be discipline. Got to be patience. Young adults, you've got to be patient with what you buy and when and Well, we want it all right now. You'll be happier. You'll have a better year if you'll learn to be patient and don't collect. One young couple came to me years ago, said, would you help us with our finances? And they had no less than 8 credit cards and all kinds. I mean, they had like, you know, I can't even get into it, but all kinds of stuff. And it was just from their young adult years. There's got to be evaluation. Where are we and where are we headed? And guess what? There's also got to be sacrifice. And dad, it ain't all about mama making all the sacrifices. And mom, it's not about dad making all the sacrifices. And kids, you better recognize how many sacrifices your parents make for you. Consider your finances. Have you stopped and looked? Say, where are we? Where are we headed? Number 4, consider your family. Consider your family. Each one of these could be a message, but I notice in verse number 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. The word ye there is plural, so we know he's talking to a nation here, but when I'm seeing all this eating and drinking and clothing, I'm thinking of a family. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. So consider your family, all right? How's your family doing? I told you just practical message tonight, but how is your family doing? On this, as we're ending this year, getting ready for another year, how is your marriage? How's your marriage? You can't live through your kids. Your whole life and laughter cannot just be about kids or the next vacation. You have to learn to enjoy one another as a husband and a wife. There's going to come a time, so I've been told, where your kids leave the house. And what are you going to do if your whole life was lived through those kids and you have no relationship with your spouse? I love the older couples in our church. It's very obvious they love one another. When I see Brother and Miss Smith, when I see Brother and Miss Warden, when I see Brother and Miss Brandenburg, when I see my mom and my dad, all that my mom puts up with, I think, man, you know. But when I see them, when I see Glenn and Darlene Anderson, when I see Brother and Miss Roach, when I see Brother and Miss Fain, you can tell these couples they like one another. Now they're all different, you know. And some are lovey dovey, some are get over it. We need to go right now. Get over here. Where you been? You know. But it works for them. And I am man. We got to have a right marriage. Got to work on that. Have a good marriage. How's your marriage, all right? How are each of your children coming along? We're talking about evaluation tonight. Just before we go through a new year, consider your family. Is your kid saved? Has your kid been baptized? Is your kid learning the Bible? Do they have a good attitude? We don't have time to preach tonight. Can I ask this question? How's the discipline going? How's the discipline going? Well, they're just kids. Yes, and a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I cut up with my daughter, with Sarah, but she's a sweet spirit girl now, and everybody knows that. She gets along. She can get along with anybody. But she is the one as a little kid that told Miss Orms in Christian school, my daddy can fire you. Yeah. And Miss Orm said, all the little kids now, we're going to pick up the trash. And she said, lady, I'm not your slave. That's sweet Miss Sarah Ogdy. Listen, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's sickening to watch parents beg their kids to act right and then make excuses for them when they don't. If I tell my kid to do something, I don't care what I just told them to do. If they agree or disagree with me, if it was their fault or not their fault, we could discuss that later. I just told you directly what to do. And my thinking is, if you embarrass yourself in front of others, I'll help you embarrass yourself in front of others. If it's a private matter, we can handle it privately. But if you're going to pop off to me in front of other people, or you're going to make me look like a fool in other people, I will whip you right here in front of all of these people. You don't prove your authority as a parent, or you're as a parent because you discipline. I've seen people do that. They look at others, see if they're watching, and then get under their kids. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. But letting kids run around like crazy and nobody ever stops them and nobody ever says a thing, and all we do is make excuses for them. So they're going to. Sweet Miss Sarah over here. They're going to say that stuff. Don't be embarrassed. Your kids are going to say stuff. Some of your kids say dumb stuff all the time. Now, I'm going to get done in just a minute. The other one's quick. But let me just settle here for a second. There's a difference between they're doing it and you're letting them get away with it and making excuses for them. And the fact that, and you don't have to correct them in front of everybody else to make it make sense, but correct them later. All the little kids, look up here at me. Full of pizza, look up here at me if you're old enough to understand. Look up here at me. You need to learn how to have respect for adults. You don't run over them in parking lots. You don't slam doors in their faces. You don't throw stuff and hit them with it. They're not your buddy. You're to respect folks that are older than you. You ought to learn that. What's up, front row? Brother Ethan's a grown man, grown adult, and I think Brother Ethan's a gentleman. But you teenagers, would you listen to me for just a second? Some of you are maturing and you're growing up and you're trying to mature and you're oddly maturing, and we're all noticing. But listen to me, young people. Every word out of your mouth should not be a smart aleck comment to an adult because you think you're being funny. That's not funny, and it's showing immaturity. If an adult is cutting up with you, it's like, hey, James, hey, man, good job brushing your hair today. You're like, oh, dude, preacher, at least I have hair. You know, whatever. We're cutting up. But teenagers, you learn as you're growing up, you just being a gentleman is going to make people respect you. Young ladies, you just learn to be a lady. Don't run over the preacher in the hallway. Don't run down the hallway with 14 donuts in your mouth. There are ways you could show you're growing up, and man, things are changing in your life. Folks, I know it's just me getting older, but good grief. We have a lot of kids in our church, and I'm glad we do. But if your parenting philosophy is let them do what they want, when they want, where they want, we're just so glad to have kids. You need to go read your Bible. Because the Bible says if you love your kids, you'll chasten your kids while there's still hope. Not chasing your kids. Please, 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 please. I said it again, please. Oh, they're just like that. It's just the way they are. Okay. You know that's your job, right? You break their will without breaking their spirit. They have personalities. Don't try to change their personality. There are a lot of kids walking around discouraged today because dad's not doing right. The Bible says that dads can be guilty of that. I'm just asking how your family's doing. Back to mom and dad. Has there been any mom and dad alone time lately? Do you have any family trips scheduled for the next year? What is the day-to-day atmosphere of your home like? Getting along? Is there laughter? Is there cutting up? Or is it constant stress? Kids, there's always going to be some stress in your homes. That's just part of life. There are some stress in the homes. But a home should not be full of yelling, screaming, ignoring, all of those things. I'm just about done, and I'm more tired than you are right now. Okay, I'm just about done. But I want to cover something else. And my kids have heard these speeches, but I want to give it to everybody. And I call them kids, but they're grown adults now. And I treat 18-year-olds, once they get a diploma, I do the best I can to try to treat them like adults. All of you guys living at home right now with mom, dad, grandma, whoever, you are not our boss. You still get to live there. You should not cause stress in that home. You should be grateful to be able to live there in those homes as those young adults. Thank God for it. Dad is still the authority in that home. And I know where you are in life. And I know it's like, oh, I'm an adult now, but I don't get treated. And I know it. I know as parents, I know how we can be. And I get that. And we're trying to get to that place where I'm not preaching just to my kids. They hear this preaching all the time. But we're trying to get to that place where, all right, you're an adult, you're this, that. But you did not get a license at all to do your own thing, to tell grandma what to do, to tell dad what to do. It is your privilege to live in that home. And this is something that I have taught my kids for a while. When you're a kid at home, you're obeying mom and dad. okay, when you're a kid. They don't have to ask me things now. I don't have to, oh, you can't do this. Come home at, I don't keep up with that. But there is a word you have to learn, all of you in your 20s, there's a word you have to learn, and it's this. The Bible teaches it. Honor. Honor. I wasn't always a perfect kid, but my mom and dad can go to their grave saying, he honored us. He tried to help us in any way possible and keep the family name right. Honor is, you know what, Nana, let me help you out. You raised me. Let me help you out. It's not just about what you can do for me. Let me help you out, Nana. Honor is, Mom, what can I do for you? Mom, can I put gas in your car? Mom, can I be the one to go get the groceries? Mom, can I, hey, Mom, you got a flat. Do something about it. No, it's Mom, you got a flat. But are y'all listening? But I'm going to fix it for you. It's honor. Amen. My kids don't have to obey me. They're good young adults. They have their own personalities. They don't have to obey Josh PM about midnight tonight. But it is still my home, and if I did say that, that's exactly what should happen. Okay, well, I just can't wait to get out. Have y'all seen how much the bills cost these days? Yeah. Consider your family. I'm big on that. Honor your mother and your father. That's all of us in here. Honor your parents as long as you have them. The last one, consider your faith. You got to get done here. Consider your faith. The entire reason that Israel was in trouble here, that Judah was in trouble, he says, you're not doing what God wants you to do. So he says in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Okay, why is it not going well? He's going to answer it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Okay, so consider your faith. Where are you today as a Christian? Are you as faithful as you've ever been? Are you as happy in the Lord as you've ever been? Are you serving like you ought to? Are you in the Bible? Are you in the perfect will of God? The biggest problem with Israel there in that passage was they were not where God wanted them to be. It could very well be that some of our other problem areas are rooted in the fact that we are not what we ought to be right now as a child of God. So, heading into the new year, the next couple of weeks, I know you're busy this week, but at some point, consider your future. Do you do well with your time, or do you find yourself frustrated all the time or anxious all the time? If I could just encourage you, just live by some sort of a schedule. Know what you're doing each day. You're going to accomplish more if you'll do that. Consider yourself physically. Some of us need to really think about that soon. But folks, it is in the Bible, and we should. We don't all have to eat tree bark, and you know, there's so many people today, I'm keto, I'm Edo, I'm, you know, it's like, I'm Shipley's, you know, I don't know what you are, but you know, if people want to go that extreme, that's fine. Lick a tree and live forever or whatever, that's whatever, but trees are meant for toothpicks after you eat something fattening and you got to get it out of your teeth. But consider yourself physically. Consider your finances. Some of you are going to get a check here pretty soon from Uncle Biden. You're going to blow it all. And then you know you're going to struggle the rest of the year to make the rent payment or the car payment. You could take that check and pay 6 months of your insurance. Or I'm not your dad. Most of you in here, all but two. I'm not your dad. Let me clarify. But consider your finances. Consider your family. What's the point in all this stuff? Oh, we got the house, we got the land, we got the this, we got the... What's the point in all that if husband and wife aren't even enjoying one another? Consider your relationship with your children. Consider where your children are in life. All of you who are teenagers and above, look at me, listen to me. All of you, I'm hung up now on this honor thing. Your parents are not here to serve you. Now, thank God we have a lot of good grandparents in here, but there's nowhere in the Bible says your grandparents are free babysitters. I'm just speaking for them. None of them have come to me and said, would you throw that in there? They probably love it. They probably love it. I'm just telling you, as our parents are getting older, our job is to take care of them. Our job is to take burdens off of their shoulders, not here. What's the next thing you could do for me? What's the next thing you can give me? What's the next thing you could do? We walked in a restaurant yesterday, Spring Creek, the barbecue place. After that funeral, it was a $60 bill. There was no way I was letting my parents pay that. No way. And yet there are a lot of young adults can't wait for mom or dad to pop the debit card out. I understand if you're really young and don't have a whole lot of money. I understand. I wouldn't let my kids pay it at their age. I'd let Josh pay, but I wouldn't, you know. But there got to come a time where it's not about what more can they do for you. It's about what can I do to take a burden off of them. Well, dad's grouch. Well, grandma's grouch. Well, grandpa's grouch. Have you maybe take a little bit off of us? Consider your family. Consider your faith. You know what they did? I won't read it, but we read it in the text. You know what they did? They fixed the problem, didn't they? The preachers got busy preaching, and the Bible says he stirred up the spirit of the people there. They got up, and they got back to rebuilding once again. So whatever it is in your life, the Lord gave me the message a couple weeks before the new year. Just stop. Don't let yourself float into a new year, especially if you're miserable, if things aren't what they ought to be. Don't float into a new year. Put it down on paper. This is what I'm going to do financially, physically, with our marriage, with our kids, stuff around our home, stuff around our church, stuff in the ministry. And man, just get it done. Just get it done. And I promise you, you'll look up and desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, the Bible says. You'll be so happy that you're accomplishing some things.